This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, May 1st. I'm Patricia Naft. The Denver Post reports that a statewide coalition of business and political power brokers, including Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce Chief Kelly Breaux and former U.S. Interior Secretary Ken Salazar, is launching a new campaign to fight ballot initiatives the group says attack Colorado's oil and gas industry. Called Coloradans for Responsible Reform, the coalition is being funded by its members, which include more than 55 groups such as labor, agriculture, chambers of commerce, and health organizations, Breaux told the Post Wednesday. Alliances including Action 22, Club 20, and Progressive 15, representing nearly all of Colorado's counties, are also in support of the campaign, the group said in a news release. Breaux said the group will coordinate with campaigns already launched by oil and gas industry groups. Breaux and Salazar, along with Greeley Mayor Tom Norton, Colorado Concern CEO Tamara Ward, and former Denver Mayor Wellington Webb, are co-chairs of the group. Signatures are being collected for as many as 12 proposed ballot initiatives that would, for example, regulate oil and gas activities by increasing setbacks and giving control of well placement to local and county governments. Not all will make the November ballot. Breaux said environmental regulations are state and federal issues, not municipal and county concerns. The debate over oil and gas extraction has intensified in the last few years, with the Boulder and Boulder County, Broomfield, Fort Collins, Lafayette, and Longmont passing bans or moratoriums. The Associated Press reports that a Utah man indicted on federal charges of stealing a fossilized dinosaur footprint will make his initial court appearance this week in Salt Lake City. 35-year-old Jared Ellers of Moab is accused of dislodging a piece of sandstone with a three-toed ancient dinosaur track from the Hell's Revenge Jeep Trail in the Sand Flats Recreational Area near Moab. Bureau of Land Management paleontologists say the print is from the Jurassic period and up to 190 million years old. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Utah announced in March that a grand jury returned an indictment against Ellers, who is facing up to 20 years in prison on the most serious of four counts. Ellers is charged under a federal law passed in 2009 to protect paleontological artifacts. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that three Grand Valley child care centers have reported multiple cases of Fifth disease, a common childhood illness characterized by mild symptoms similar to a cold followed by onset of a rash. The Mesa County Health Department believes there have been 15 to 20 suspected cases of Fifth disease recently in the Grand Valley. The viral disease is caused by human parvovirus B19, not to be confused with canine parvovirus, which is a serious disease that is often fatal to dogs. Parvovirus B19 can only be transmitted between humans, and humans cannot contact canine parvovirus. Fifth disease is the most common ailment caused by the virus, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It most commonly affects preschool-age children who pick it up through respiratory secretions spread when infected people cough or sneeze. The disease usually starts with a fever, runny nose, and headache, followed by a rash that resembles a slapped cheek mark on the face and sometimes another rash elsewhere on the body. Some infected people get swollen joints as well, which is more common in adult patients. About a fifth of infected people never show any symptoms. The rash typically fades within 7 to 10 days. And according to the CDC, no medication is needed in most cases. Sheriffs in Colorado are responding to recent court rulings in other states by refusing to hold prisoners in their jails solely on the basis of immigration status. Denver, Boulder, and San Miguel counties announced that they will no longer honor detainers issued by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Other sheriffs are watching the changes and closely monitoring their jail populations to avoid problems as they decide on new jail policies, said Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee, past president of the County Sheriffs of Colorado. The Daily Sentinel reports that immigration advocates have argued for years that these so-called ICE holds are merely requests, not commands, and that holding inmates on immigration detainers could constitute due process violations. Local officials with the Mesa County Sheriff's Office said Tuesday that their office has suspended ICE holds and detainers outside of any local, state, or federal charges. In a ruling issued Monday, April 28, 2014, senior U.S. District Judge Terry J. Hatner, Jr. found that the United States Forest Service cannot charge fees to visitors who park their vehicles and head off down the trail without using any developed facilities such as picnic tables and bathrooms that may be adjacent to the parking area. This ruling is a victory for the American public, be they hikers, equestrians, hunters, or fishermen. The nationwide fee law has clearly prohibited fees solely for parking since 2004, and the U.S. Forest Service should now cease charging these fees immediately across Southern California and beyond, said Alastair Coyne, one of four plaintiffs in the case. The Forest Service has been levying such fees and ticketing parked cars at trailheads and roadside pullouts since 1996 under a program called the Adventure Pass. The Adventure Pass began as an experiment called Fee Demo, which allowed recreation fees to be charged without restriction for any activity. In response to rising complaints, Congress repealed Fee Demo in 2004 and replaced it with the Federal Lands Recreation Enhancement Act. The FLREA allows fees for use of amenities and services at developed sites, but prohibits them solely for parking or for passing through national forests without using any facilities. The Adventure Pass is the Forest Service's largest fee program, selling more than 300,000 passes per year. After almost two decades, it remains broadly unpopular, with more than 40,000 warnings and tickets for non-payment issued annually. The Merchant Herald reports that attorney Michael McCarthy and realtor Bob Panetta wrote a letter in March to North Fork County Commissioner Mark Rober urging legalization of commercial marijuana growing in the North Fork. The letter said District 3 is unique agriculturally with a large number of small farmers, many of whom are farming organically, and we have a superior microclimate and soil, all of which make it possible to produce a very high quality cannabis that could increase the statewide awareness and demand for many other fine agricultural products grown in our valley. Panetta and McCarthy point out that District 3 as a whole voted for Amendment 64, which legalized personal and commercial recreational marijuana as of January 2013. Thus, they suggest that perhaps local optional commercial legalization could be limited to the North Fork. An application to grow would cost each farmer $5,000 to start, with no guarantee that the application would be approved by the state. Following the 2012 voter approval of Constitutional Amendment 64, the Board of County Commissioners voted to exercise its right as a local jurisdiction under the amendment and institute bans on all aspects of commercial cannabis. The board had previously done the same in regard to medical marijuana. The towns of Hotchkiss, council vote, Paonia by citizen vote, and Crawford by citizen vote also banned commercial medical marijuana, and Hotchkiss and Crawford instituted council voted in bans on commercial recreational cannabis. The citizens of Paonia will vote on the issue in November during the general election. Here are some of the benefits for local jurisdictions, according to McCarthy and Panetta's document. The local jurisdiction allowing commercial cannabis receives half of each $5,000 application fee. The local jurisdiction also, if retail is allowed, receives a portion of the 25% state sales and excise taxes. The local jurisdiction also receives a portion of the taxes collected to be used specifically for local schools. Local jurisdictions can also impose additional local tax levies, usually 2 or 3% on top of the base sales tax rate. Such additional taxes must receive voter approval under TABOR. Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound with Joanna. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.